We talk about gifts for the baby in the manger. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' And when the king had heard these sayings, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when he had found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child, where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." And so by this time, Jesus is in the house. I believe he was born just in an attached barn next to a house. But we don't know exactly how long he'd been in this house. We do know that the age of the children that Herod had killed was not just 1 month old or 2 months old, but it was 2 years old, I believe. And so they may have been dwelling there for a while. But I want to concentrate about the gifts that they brought. They brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then go back to a passage we looked at last week in Luke chapter 2. And here we find these shepherds coming. They have no gold, they have no frankincense, they have no myrrh, but they brought themselves. In Luke 2:6, "And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that they should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there's no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this saying which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And so this afternoon, I just want to point you to these gifts brought to the baby Jesus. We have the record of the Magi, the wise men coming, and then we have the record also of the shepherds. At this time of the season and culminating today, we have people making lists and checking them twice and looking to purchase that one gift that they think will please the one that they love. And we see here them bringing gifts to the Lord. The wise men, perhaps three, perhaps two. The wise men, perhaps many more than three, come and are going to bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh, while the shepherds of low estate bring simply themselves. I think, no doubt, these gifts that were brought, this gold, frankincense, and myrrh, was used by Mary and Joseph to finance their trip, escaping Palestine and going down into Egypt. But what's the background of these wise men? They're identified as Magi, the wise men. Tradition tells us that their names was Melchior and Balthazar, I guess, and Caspar. But that wasn't invented until 600 years after the birth of Christ, that these names even appear in writing. We also think that because there's three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that there were three wise men. But there could have been five or six or just two, but we know there's more than one because it's plural. Another inaccuracy is that these men were kings. We three kings of Orient are, but it doesn't say they're kings. And these wise men were men that were usually counselors to kings. They were during Daniel's time. They were interpreter of dreams. When it says they come from the east, it doesn't mean that they came from China or Japan. It wasn't that far east. It was in the Middle East. And probably from Iran or possibly area of Babylon, which is Iraq today. 600 years before, Daniel had prophesied over there. And in Daniel chapter 9, he spoke of Jesus coming and the Messiah, the Prince coming. And so it could have been some men from that area that were the wise men that came. The song says, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star." And so the early church and throughout time, they put some references to these gifts and some meaning. They believed that the gold represented the wealth and power of a king, and frankincense was for temple worship, and myrrh was a kind of perfume that was used to create fragrant smell, and was also used as an anesthetic. After a person died, they would anoint the body for burial, and they would use myrrh. In fact, Jesus in John 19:39, they brought 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes. So gold points to his majesty, his king, frankincense to his deity, and myrrh to that one is destined to die. And so let's just examine this a little bit. There's numerous Old Testament passages that relate about gold, and a number of those relate gold in reference to nobility and royalty. Remember when the Queen of Sheba came to see King Solomon? She brought gold. First Kings says, and she came to Jerusalem with a very great train with camels and that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones, and when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And the Bible goes on and says, she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. And so it was gold's an item fit for the king. It pointed to the royalty of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that when they came, they asked of the authorities, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And 33 years later, Pilate's going to turn to him and said, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he's going to say, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so, presently, the Lord is ruling on the throne next to God the Father, but he will come again. And so this gift talks about the king. And Revelation says, concerning his coming again, it says, "The seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." The Bible tells us that the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so they come presenting gold. The song stands. It says, born a king on Bethlehem's plain. Gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never over us all to reign. Secondly, they brought frankincense, and frankincense was something that was used in the context of ministering in the temple and in the tabernacle. It was a context of priests, and last Wednesday night we studied about the second offering out of Leviticus, the meal offering, and it was to be offered with frankincense. And we know that Jesus Christ was the great high priest for us, that he goes into heaven and offers his own blood once and for all. The gift of frankincense shows that the wise men knew that Jesus was more than a king, that he was a deity and that he was the great high priest. And the Bible says, frankincense to offer have I. Incense owns a deity nigh, not the Bible, but the song. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, voices raising, worshiping the God on high. But myrrh is the one that kind of stumps us, because myrrh wouldn't have been really that much of an appropriate gift to give to a newborn baby. It'd be like giving some formaldehyde. It was used in burying, and it was used for an anesthetic. Myrrh is mentioned in reference to Christ. The Bible says when he's on the cross, they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. The wine and the myrrh would have dulled his senses and the pain. He wouldn't have felt so much. But the Lord endured all the cross and all the pain and all the suffering for us. He refused it. The second mention of myrrh was at his burial, and Nicodemus, it says of him that he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound in linen clothes with spices, as a matter of Jews is to bury. And that 100 pound weight is about 75 pounds of the 16 ounce weight. The myrrh spoke of his coming and suffering, and the songwriter said, myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the cold stone cold tomb. I think we all ate too much this afternoon. Ready for his father Abraham? He woke up. And so the gold is the king, the incense is the Son of God, and the myrrh is for the cross. But he did not stay there. And the last stanza said, glorious now, behold him, arise, the king and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, peals through the earth and sky. The second passage that we read wasn't the kings or the wise men. We don't know if they're kings at all. But it was about the shepherds. They're lowly characters. They are not the top of the economy. And they had nothing to give to the Lord as far as materialistically. But they did come and they did give their hearts. They gave their time. They gave their person. And that's what he wanted. I think we kind of get things backwards sometimes, but let me kind of give you an account here that has a little bit of application to what we're going to say. But during the first year and a half of World War II, London was under heavy bombing from the Germans, of course. And Churchill knew that Hitler would win, and that England would be destroyed if he could not unite America as an ally with Britain in the war. Then on December 7th, 1941, Hitler's ally, Japan, attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor. Churchill left London and he rushed to Washington to meet the President Roosevelt and to speak to Congress and to try to get America to help England fight in the war. It was December 24th, Christmas Eve, 1941, and Churchill was a guest of President Roosevelt at the White House. It had been a very busy day for Churchill. That morning he had given an important speech, broadcast live on radio, before a combined meeting of the House and the United States Senate. He had spent the rest of the busy day in private interviews and meetings, and that evening he had given another speech when he helped the president light the national Christmas tree. And afterward, Churchill went to his room in the White House to prepare for a much-needed night of rest. Also staying in the White House that Christmas Eve was the president's special assistant, Harry Hopkins, and his 9-year-old daughter, Diana. Late in the evening, there was a knock on the child's door, and she arose from her bed and opened it. And there was the White House butler standing stiffly in his formal dress. He looked down at the little girl and said in a very serious voice, "Miss Hopkins, the Prime Minister wants to see you." The little girl was frightened as she pulled on her robe and followed the stately butler down a long, dark corridor to the Monroe bedroom. The butler knocked on the door, and the girl heard a gruff, indistinguishable response from inside. And when the door opened, the child saw the penetrating eyes of the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, staring down at her. She was shocked when Churchill reached out his arms and embraced her. He paused and then said, "I'm a lonely old father and grandfather on Christmas Eve who wanted a little girl to hug." Then he glanced bashfully at the butler and sent her back to her bed. One of Churchill's biographer said, "This is the side of Winston Churchill few people know. Image of a Churchill, the war leader, the award-winning author, the master speechmaker, or the astute politician come easily, but not images of the Churchill devoted father and grandfather, not the kind of man who might need a little girl's hug on a lonely Christmas Eve. Little Diana Hopkins brought no Christmas present to Churchill, but she gave him a hug, and it was probably the very best present that he had on December 24th, 1941. I think that when we relate giving to the Lord, sometimes we think that, we don't really have much to give him. But the Lord doesn't want so much our tithe, though he asks that. Or special gifts, and this week in the paper there's a big thing that someone graduated from the psychology and Spanish classes at the university, and their family gave to the university $1 million here in Fairbanks. And people do that this time of year, but what the shepherds brought and what the Lord wants, he just wants you and your dedication to him. That we present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. That the best thing we could do as a gift to our Savior is to live for him and live for his honor and for his glory. I read a devotion just this morning, but everything in the Bible, everything of importance, everything that desires to be emphasized is from Genesis to Revelation, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's to receive all the glory and the honor. And the shepherds came and gave that. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service." Isaac Watts put it this way. He said, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, if everything in nature, if everything in the world was my possession, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." We have this song, "All for Jesus, All for Jesus." And so the shepherds came honoring the Savior born at Bethlehem, and The Bible says there in the second chapter of Luke in verse 17, and when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning their child. The very best gift that we could give to the Lord this time of the year and every day of the year is to spread the news that He came to die for the world. And the very best gift that I could give to my friends and family is a gospel message. We don't see it that way, and they may not see it that way, and they may take it as an affront, but the greatest gift that they could have is the gift that would save their soul from hell. And so, the Bible says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They brought Him gifts. And this time of the year, we ought to honor Him and really show true love to our friends and family by giving out the gospel. I was really pleased about, you know, some of the things that happened this week and some of the, you know, the visitors that came on Wednesday, and some of our guys gave gifts at their work and came over to the church and got a bunch of the Bibles that we have here and gave them out as gifts. And what a testimony. The other day I was shopping over at Value Village, and I usually go over to the books and go through all the religious books, and 9.9% of those are not worth burning. But in the midst of all those books, you know what I found? I found an anniversary New Testament copy of the King James Bible that we'd given out. And it's there on the shelf. And I went back last week and it's gone. So either they discarded it or somebody bought it. I mean, we gave it out free and they're selling it. But somebody's picking it up. And so, who knows what will happen with what's been done. Let's just continue to pray for our visitors and our outreach. Okay? Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.